pretty much know how long my material is going to be tonight, but since you're joining in tonight in an aspect of what we're doing, I don't know how long it's going to take you. So I asked Kevin if I could start a little bit early, if that's all right, and we'll see how long we go. Our time together as we look at this series on charting our course in the evening isn't so much a preaching service, although I trust that as we've looked into God's Word and looked at some principles that you've been challenged from God's Word and the importance that it is for us to look at what God wants us to do as His people and to do it the best that we can through His power and for His glory. We've looked at some verses, and most notably we looked at Haggai chapter 1, looked at that a couple weeks. Remember that passage where God's people had returned to the land, and they had been there initially excited about coming back to the land after being in captivity. They laid the foundation for the temple, and then they neglected it. And for 15 years, I believe, it just lay there neglected, and no one was working on the temple. They were working on their houses. They were doing all kinds of stuff. Then Haggai comes and tells them the time has come for you to build the Lord's house. He said, you know, the people say it's not yet. And the Lord says, now is the time. Go to the mountains, get lumber, and give your attention to God's house. And the theme of Haggai is consider your ways. Consider where you're putting your time and your effort. Certainly that is good application for us and the work that God has given us. Hebrews 2:1 was another verse that we looked at, that we need to be careful lest by any means the things that we have heard, the faith, the doctrine, that we let that slip. And it's easy for that to happen, to slowly drift away from our foundations. We need to be careful that doesn't happen. Then we looked at Proverbs 22:3, that verse that reminds us the importance of prudence, that a prudent person sees danger ahead and avoids it. And as we recognize some of the consequences and the dangers of not taking a look at the direction of our church and making sure we're at the right direction and going the right way and evaluating our strategies, that there are some consequences that come down the line. It's easy to slip into indifference and to just let things happen as they've always happened. And certainly that is not what we want to happen. A consequence of that would be that the gospel is not being ministered the way that it can be through our church. And then one more verse before we look at a presentation tonight. If you look at James chapter 4, I mentioned this last week as we are involved in planning. And again, this is not so much a preaching time. We had that time this morning as we were challenged from God's Word. Really, we're gathering in these evening services for us together to look at the structure, a way that we can have a structured plan to evaluate our church, to check its course, and to set it for the future. And we want to have a working understanding of these things so that as we're at it together, we're referring to terms and we're talking about planning and we understand what we're doing. So this is a real important time. But in all our planning, we need to remember this important principle in James chapter 4. Come now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the next day. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. As I pointed out this morning, that a key component of what we're doing is prayer. That God must be behind this and in this. And if we're just planning, whether it's your life, a venture, something as simple as a vacation, or a vocation change, certainly directing a church. I mean, we're just going to do this. This is our plan, and we'll put it together. And you don't stop to realize that God must be in these things. We don't know what the future is going to hold. We don't know how our culture and how events of even our nation will change and will impact everything that we're doing. Certainly, as we'll see tonight, there are some core values that regardless of what happens outside, we continue to do. But in all our planning, personal and as a church, we need to be saying, if the Lord wills, through His power, by His grace. And I mentioned personally as well, I trust that some of these principles that we look at will be a good structure for you to take a look at your life. Where do you plan to be in 5 years? If you continue going the direction you're going right now without, you know, any change, where will you be? You need to take heed. You need to think hard. What are the core values of your life? And you're really living that way in accord with what you say you value? And so these are important for all of us. All right, last week we looked at an overview of planning. And what was the first question that church leaders in a congregation need to stop and ask themselves from time to time? What's that first question? You're killing me here. Help me out. Remember? What? That's the second question. That's a good question. It's important. But, you got to ask the first question first. It is, who are we? Who are we? And this goes to our core values. What do we value? And what is our purpose? Why do we exist? Purposes for local churches, certainly those that honor God's word or going to follow God's word, are going to be very similar. But there are unique purposes for individual local churches. Why not shut the doors of our church and go to another gospel preaching church in our area? Why Mountain View Bible Church here at this time? What is the unique purpose that God has for us here? Do we have a unique purpose? Certainly sharing purposes with all gospel preaching churches, but why do we exist? And now the question that John had, what was that?
Where are we going?
Okay, where are we going? And that goes to vision. Where are we going and by when? This vision speaks of what we desire to be and what we desire to accomplish. And it has a time frame. Again, if the Lord will. But seeking, you know, with God's power and grace. And then where are we going? Critical ministry areas. If we're going to accomplish this goal, what are the key areas that we have to perform well in if we're going to succeed? For example, remember last I asked the leaders, what are the key areas that I have to succeed in to be a pastor? Those are my critical ministry areas. If there's other things that are encroaching in on those things, those other things need to go if I'm going to succeed as a pastor. You should ask yourself that in some various hats that you wear. As a dad, what are some critical ministry areas as a dad? As a pastor, okay, as someone who's in the congregation, and evaluate. Those are key things, all right? And the last question? How will we get there? Thank you, Del. Okay? How will we get there? And that goes to our strategies. All right, what are the specific strategies? And we saw an example last week, a key ministry area flowing from our core values would be discipleship. All right? It mentions here how we get there. This changes frequently. We ask those questions in the right order. Who are we? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? Core values don't change. Okay, visions may change and purpose to some degree may change. But how we get there, okay, from time to time, even some critical ministry areas may change as it relates to some of our strategies and such. But our strategies, though, change. And discipleship, a critical ministry area, would we just choose that? No, from Scripture. Discipleship should be a critical ministry area. If we're going to succeed as a church, we need to be discipling people. Why? Because Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. And Paul, in his ministry, what did he do? He took what he learned and he gave it to faithful men who would be able to teach other also. And that's discipleship. And so that must be a critical ministry area of a church. All right? And so everything else under that would be strategies, things that we do in order to accomplish discipleship. And a program is a strategy. And we need to come to see that, because we'll see that programs are dispensable. Critical ministry areas are not as dispensable, and core values are never dispensable as they flow from Scripture. If we have some strategies that have become core values, then, you know, we can't touch that, and yet it's really not something that flows from Scripture, then we have a problem. And that's all fine until it's your strategy or program that we were considering and evaluating. You know, well, we're gonna maybe think we're gonna tweak this. Wait a minute, you know, that's what I really like. But we need to come to understand, how does that flow in the critical ministry area? Okay. So those are the questions that we need to ask. We need to ask them in the right order. And now we're going to focus on that first question, and that is, who are we? And we're going to talk about core values. What are core values? And they are the motivating forces behind all that we do. Core values are those motivating forces behind all that we do, the things that drive us. If you grew up in the Emberley household, a core value would be there's no onions in cooking. My mom hates onions. To a point where she was actually saying she was allergic to onions. Although her allergy wasn't she got hives, it just made her sick. She just could not stand onions. And so the fact that there were no onions, it drove our menu. Okay, that was behind all that we did. The deepest, most constant, passionate belief that drove the menu. No onions. Because she could not stand onions. All right, so that's what a core value is. When it relates to a church or our lives, a core value may be something as simple and as profound as is one short life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Right? That idea that our life is short. The things that really matter are those things that are done for Christ. And why would you give your life to anything else? That's a core value. That drives all that you do. How you spend your money. And where you're going to live. And what you're going to do with your life. That's a core value. And core values can be biblical or unbiblical. We mentioned something as a core value. Doesn't necessarily mean it's biblical. There are churches in our area that have a core value like this. And I have read them. All faiths are equally valid. There are churches that use the word affirm in this way. We're an affirming church. And in those churches, it as a core value, the worst thing that you could do is to question someone's faith. You know, we affirm people's faith. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you have faith. But we recognize here that faith is only as good as the object in which you place it. If they have a core value, it's unbiblical. It's unbiblical. And so core values can be biblical or unbiblical. They can be shared or unshared. I spoke this morning and last week of the importance of God's Word and the preaching of God's Word and as a core value. But there could be those who attend a church who may not be passionate about the preaching of God's Word. They could care less to some degree. Church is about social things and getting to know people and, you know, their social group. And preaching, yeah, preaching is something that takes place at church, but it's not really a shared value. Certainly, I trust that the preaching of God's Word would be a shared value that we have in our congregation. It could be overt or covert, open or hidden. Something that is made known and clear. Okay. Or something that maybe is just kind of unspoken. I think if I preach to 9 o'clock tonight, we would discover some covert core values. If on Sunday morning I started preaching till 1:30, you know, I think we'd find some core values. If people, yeah, they value the preaching of God's Word, but there's some other things they value as well. And there'd be some core values about time and the use of it and all that. Okay, and that would those covert values would quickly become overt, I believe. Okay. They could be conscious or unconscious. You may have some core values that you don't even recognize that you have. Maybe as a church begins to move towards change, you begin to recognize, oh man, some of them may have an unconscious core value to resistance of anything that's new. Oh, there's a PowerPoint here. That's new. There's nothing wrong. And all of a sudden, it's like this. Oh. And you never thought about it before. But all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, I don't know if I like this. It's a core value. It's resistance. I was in a church recently that they had their motto for the year, church the way it used to be. Church the way it used to be. And in some ways, I think that's a good slogan. If it is, we're standing for the foundation of God's Word, the fundamentals of the faith, those core values of the gospel, we are not going to change. But if it means that nothing ever changes in the church, that we want a church the way it used to be in the 30s and 40s and everything, then no, because things do change. You have to go to the Monadnock Community Hospital and see this slogan, surgery the way it used to be. Certainly there are some core attitudes of surgery and healing and trying to help. But certainly there are strategies that and ways of doing things that you appreciate that have changed over the years. Core values can be congruent or incongruent. That is, they can work against each other. You have a core value of evangelism. Then you also have another core value that you stay away from lost people. Doesn't work because you can't do evangelism and stay away from lost people. Can't do it. So you have two core values that are bucking horns. You've got to do something. You've got to bring them in line with each other. Then you can have, this is a key one, core values that are actual or aspirational. No, I don't think aspirational is a word, but aspire is a word. actual core values are those values that you have right now. And we're going to do an exercise in a moment, not a physical exercise, but a written exercise, to try to see if we can take a look and discover some values that we actually have right now. Values that are core to who we are. And then later on, we're going to try to list the ones we aspire to have and live up to. You can have some actual values, and you can have some other values, and you say, you know what, this is, we're not there yet, but we value these things, and we want to see these things lived out in our congregation. So you'll have actual or aspiring values. It's kind of like faith and works. You can say this is what you value, but if you're not really doing it, putting it on paper doesn't mean anything. We could go through this and come to the conclusion, even as I preached this morning, the importance of prayer. That what we value, group prayer. We value corporate prayer. And that's what we value. It comes out clearly that prayer is important, and we value that God works through God's people, and praying together is something we see in Scripture. So we value corporate prayer. And so then we have a prayer meeting on Wednesday, and 15% or 20% of the people show up. Is that an actual value of the church? Not necessarily. I mean, you can put it on paper all you want. We value group prayer. Okay, let's have a prayer meeting. No one comes. It's not a value. Or you might say it is a value, but the venue in which you have laid out to provide group prayer isn't working. The strategy of Wednesday night prayer meeting doesn't work for people. They're not able to make it for whatever reason. That's not saying that the 85% of the people aren't showing up. They don't value group prayer. It may be that strategy doesn't work. And so you have to look at it. You can look at it two ways. You can say, well, on paper, we value group prayer. People aren't coming. So even though they say they value group prayer, they really don't. Or you might say, maybe we need to take a look at the way we do group prayer. Okay, so actual or aspirational. And then lastly, it can be harmful or helpful. You can have a core value that is helpful. I would say that efficiency, striving for quality, would be a helpful core value. As I mentioned this morning, if your core value is indifference or keep the status quo, that can be a hurtful core value. No enthusiasm, just, oh well, the way things are, you need to stay that way. Then that can be hindrance. We think of Christ and the core values that he had. We're told in Scripture that Christ ate with tax collectors and sinners. And in doing so, he raised the ire of the religious leaders. We see a value in that. Jesus' core value was, I could care less what the religious leaders think. The shakers and movers of the religious scene, Jesus could care less. He valued doing the will of the Father. He valued the love for lost people. So he went to where lost people were, and people criticized him for it. You could say Jesus, in some degree, was a risk taker from this standpoint. He put on the line what people thought of him because he didn't care. God's will and reaching lost people with the gospel and putting him in place trumped that. And so it would be a harmful core value to be afraid of what other people think. Well, we can't do this. What will people say? If God's word says we need to do this, then your core value is, I obey what God says, regardless of what people say. So, I'm going to show you next, because it looks like there's some people getting sleepy. And last week, the PowerPoint was someone else's, and this week it is someone else's. And I have adapted it with a lot of changes, and so I added something here. And this is an example of shared versus unshared values. And you're going to see in a moment, the pastor has a certain value of the baptism service. And someone's going to enter the tank that doesn't share this value. And I'm going to click on this to start it. And when I click on it to start it, I found that the screen will go blank for a second, and then it will start up, Lord willing. Why that happens, I don't know. My brother-in-law would tell me because I didn't get a Mac, and Steve Chisholm would tell me because I didn't hook it up correctly. Hopefully everything will go all right. Okay. All right, you have some conflicting core values in that video clip. I can appreciate the pastor there. He is trying to make the best of a real difficult situation. The church, as we have baptism services in the lake here, we are rejoicing in those that are baptized. We may not necessarily cheer the way that church did, and yet it is a time of open public proclamation of a following Christ. And so here is this guy who does a cannonball in there, and the pastor is like really taken back, and he's trying to deal with it. He says at one point, this kid's trying to get away. He grabs him and pulls him back. And then he says, I've been a pastor for 25 years, and that's the first, and that'll be the last. He's making it clear, and I would appreciate that. That was not a way to handle a Baptist service. If that happened, I don't know. I would be as gracious as he was. But he recognized the trying to deal with that. And so there is a shared and unshared value of baptism. So as we kind of see that again, just how important are core values? Core values determines a church's thrust and direction or lack of the same. All right? And if our core value is indifference, status quo, we're not going to do anything. If it is evangelism and discipleship, we're going to set up things to do that. Core values influence a church's decision-making, problem-solving, risk-taking, task-setting, team-building, the allocation of time, personnel, finances, and resources. The thing that matters to you at the core, that's what gets the attention. And so core values are key. We need to know what they are so that when money is spent a certain way or time is given a certain way. Remember the illustration about the ship if last week that we gave you. If you're going on a cruise and you have different ideas of where you're going, what it's all about, there's going to be tension. If you can lay out, these are our core values. This is why we're doing this. And it flows right from Scripture, and we're on board with that. Then you have understanding of why things are done the way they are. Everything flows or doesn't flow from core values. So I want us to do an exercise at this time. Try to identify our core values, our actual core values, some that we have. So if the ushers can get ready. And simply have, this is not going to deal, there's a lot of areas we can look at as core values. Just got to focus on one area of things that that we value. We have an overarching value. And our church is most like which category? Okay? And we're going to do exercise number one now. So you guys can go down and hand those out. And I'll have the adults get a gold one. Okay? And if we have anyone that's under 18, our students, just get a blue one. If you need a pen, get that pen. And we'll do this. You're going to get a sheet that lists seven types of churches, a little description of churches. And some description of those churches. And in a moment, don't do it yet, I'm going to ask you to choose the church that you think Mountain View Bible Church is most like. Is most like. Okay, so wait until everyone gets one. I'm going to collect these later on. And you see on the left-hand side, type of church. Did everyone get one? Okay, still handing them out. Written anything on your paper already, you're going to get a demerit, okay? I didn't say begin yet. Did everyone get one? All right. Beautiful. Okay. You see on the left-hand side, type of church, the classroom church, then the soul-winning church, the social conscience church, the experiential church, the family reunion church, the life development church, the world awareness church. You see those? Go across the classroom church. The unifying value is information. The role of the pastor is teacher. The role of the people is student. The key focus is to know. Typical tool is the overhead projector of the PowerPoint. The desired result is educated Christian, and the positive trait is the knowledge of the Bible. You follow across the soul-winning church is evangelism. Role of the pastor, evangelist. Role of the people is bringer. Key focus is to save. Typical tool is the altar call. Desired result is born-again people. And the positive trait is the heart for the lost. What I'd like you to do is I'm going to go through and read not all the descriptions. I'm going to go through one more time and just read the type of church. You look at the descriptions now so you can get a feel for what they're like. And then I'm going to ask you to put a one next to the type of church that we are most like in your opinion. Okay. And then put a two next to your second choice and a three next to your third choice. So one would be the church that is most like, two, next, and then three. Okay, I'll go down and read them, and you put the one next to the one you think. Classroom church, soul-winning church, social conscience church, experiential church, family reunion church, the life development church, or the world awareness church. Which of those are we most like? All right, and now do the two. And then the three. All right, I'm going to reveal to you the results of the exercise when we did this with the church leaders. Don't change your answer to conform with theirs, okay? There's no, all right? We did this with the church leaders when we got together a few weekends ago. We gave 3 points for the one that would get a first and 2 points for the second and 1 point for the third. And so as we went through this, this is how it came out. Okay, don't change your answers, all right? Life Development Church got 31 points. Classroom Church got 16. Family Reunion got 12. World Awareness got 7. Soul Winning Church got 5. And Social Conscience got 1. So one person listed that in the third area. And as we discussed that, here are some of the reasons we talked about a little bit. The emphasis from the pulpit on being and doing and not simply hearing and knowing. The men said they felt like often they hear from the pulpit, it's not just enough to know the information. We need to be doing it. We need to be applying it. And that was the reason given for choosing Life Development Church over Classroom Church, because some chose Classroom Church as number one. Not everyone, but a few did. But more chose Life Development. And as we discussed it, that was the reason. The emphasis on doing, not just hearing and knowing. And then these two were selected as being the majority because they felt our church emphasizes teaching, learning, and growing. And then, so that's those two, Life Development and Classroom Church. Then a couple mentioned that they chose Family Reunion Church, not necessarily for reasons that were positive. It's good if you're in the family, but not if you're an outsider. So there are strengths with that, but there are also, and so some, even as they chose it, as this is a category of our church, they were doing so in a semi-positive light. All right, and then world awareness was because of the giving and the emphasis on mission trips and those that have come out of our church and missions. Soul Winning Church has received some there in our desire to see souls come to the Lord. Okay, and so that's the result of those exercises. So I don't know whether you got the same, but we're focusing in on a core value here, one area. Okay, exercise number two is on the other side, and I'm going to actually read through these statements. And all you have to do with this exercise is if the statement is you believe is true of our church, just check the box. Okay? So pen in hand, here we go. All right? It is focused on meeting the needs of people who have been in the church a long time. It has a core group based on long-term relationships. It is limited largely to programs that meet on the church property. It seeks to grow by attracting members of other gospel-preaching churches. It sees the community as unreachable. It considers evangelistic people somewhat suspect. It has a fortress mentality. It is focused on the glories of the past. It greatly limits the access of new people to ministry and leadership positions. It spends most of its budget on edification, not evangelism or equipping. It is interested in reaching minorities overseas, but uncomfortable with them in the church. It desires pastors to do most of the ministry. It is satisfied with the present size of the congregation. It centers on its own existence, meeting the budget, maintaining the building. It sees the Great Commission as the mission of the church. It requires that staff members equip saints to do the ministry. It decentralizes ministry into the community and homes. It sees the community as containing reachable people. It studies the community to develop strategies to reach people. It is rooted in the past and focused on the future. Now, don't go back and change the one you've checked up above, okay? That's cheating. It has clear paths of involvement for new people. It provides groups for new people at all spiritual levels. It has a budget that reflects the priority of local evangelism. It accepts local minorities into its church life. It centers on making more and better disciples for the glory of God. It assists people in discovering and using their spiritual gifts and evangelistic styles. All right, guys, if you could collect all those. Which number three? That ministry doesn't just take place here. It takes place in the community, and it takes place in homes. All right, collect those, guys. We could maybe even use more than these three dot guys so they can be collected more quickly. Now, in addition to that exercise, those two exercises, the leaders did another exercise, and it was entitled, it was more just a discussion, who is our church's customer? And sometimes you think of the word customer, you think of business, and you get the focuses on it. Who is it that we serve? Where is our focus? Right? Who is it that we're trying to minister to? And that was the question that was before. Whom do we exist to serve? The community? Certainly God. Believers? Ourselves, unbelievers? How was our ministry established? In what way? In our strategies? And who is it that ultimately we serve? And so we talked about that. And as we discussed that, we came to some conclusions. And we'll get those conclusions when we look at the results of our exercise number three. But the leaders, the one you just did, our focus, as you look at that, the top one, above the break, had to do with churches that tend to be self-focused. The ones on the bottom tend to emphasize churches that seem to be outwardly focused. Okay, inwardly focused or outwardly focused? That was the purpose of this exercise. The top was inward focused. Bottom was outward focused. And as the leaders did it, they had self-oriented or inward focused. 58 of total boxes were checked. And others oriented was 50. So it's pretty close. But it leaned towards self-oriented. And then once we talked about who do we minister to, as we discussed it, we said, we are our customer. It almost came out immediately by one of the men. We're our customer. People who are like us. The majority of people in our church are established Christians. And then I asked the guys, show your hands. How many of you grew up in a Christian home? And 11 of our 12 leaders grew up in Christian homes. And so it was telling in the way of who we're ministering to and who we're reaching. Although in the course of the conversation, it was mentioned that although we acknowledge that our customer is anyone who walks through the door, anyone who lives in the community, and we must meet people where they are. That's a value that we aspire to. But in actuality, even though we seek to do this in heart and to some degree in practice, the focus of the ministry is toward established Christians who, for the most part, already embrace our standards, already embrace our faith, and already embrace our way of life. And so those were the results. And so we wrote this summary of our actual core values, just in this one area, this other core values, but focused on this area. He said, we're a church focused on helping established Christians grow in the Lord. We mainly attract those who are like us. And we tend, not overly so, but we tend to have an inward, self-oriented focus rather than an outward, others-oriented focus. So as we're trying to, based on, you know, things that we did, that's we'll kind of get a description of what we're like. And then there are some strengths in that. So we wrote out some thought questions. What are some things we could talk about as a result of that? First of all, does this summary statement actually reflect our church? I mean, you could do an exercise and it come out, you know, we're not like that. That was a cool exercise, but I don't think so. You may feel that way. What would you add to clarify it? Okay. What are the strengths and weaknesses of our church as reflected in the summary statement? There are strengths in that. And you go back and you look at you. There are some strengths in our ministry and towards established Christians. There are weaknesses as well. What circumstances have contributed to these strengths and weaknesses? The circumstances of where we are and our history and what we do. How does that contribute to our strengths? How does that contribute to our weaknesses? These are important questions. And then what needs to change to be redirected in order to reflect the values we aspire to have? As you look at that, those actual values in that area, we tend to be inward focused. And yet if we were to do an actual value, and we're going to do that later on, we'll find 100% of the people here, we need to be involved in evangelism. Okay, that's an aspiring value. And what do we need to do to reach that? Okay, we need to think about that. Okay, what needs to stay the same? What must we not change? As we look at that description of our church, those things that are good, that being rooted in the past and yet looking to the future. Yeah, that's a solid thing. Okay, and what other questions do we need to work through? Okay, and that leads us to exercise number 4. Okay, who are we today? That's the exercises we just did. Exercise 4 is what do we aspire to be? And that's the next exercise that will address that question. What are some values that we aspire to have from Scripture that we need to have as a church? And we're not going to do that tonight. Okay? And this is where your input is needed. Okay? And that's about the meetings that we're having this week that I mentioned this morning. So come to the parsonage one night this week at 7:30 p.m. Okay? All right? Tuesday, Wednesday, there's no prayer meeting this week. Okay, so there's no children's groups. Okay, there's no nursery. All right. Or Thursday, no ladies. You have a ladies' missionary fellowship at 7 o'clock meeting in the dining room on Thursday. So ladies, if at all possible, that important project you're working on the Hudson's, you plan to attend that. Okay. We're having more than one night, so as many people can come out as possible. All right. And those with young children, you can either get a babysitter, come out together, or you know, come out one night and just split it up, okay? So at 7:30. Okay, this is important. Because values answer the tough questions. What programs will we keep? What will we add? What will we drop? What will we change? A core value we're going to see as we go through this, the exercise this week, is what you're committed to do as a church. Come war, government opposition, famine. This is what you will do. There are some values that may be preferences that we'll see, and we'll rate those. But core values are those that are mainly drawn from Scripture. We might have some core values that aren't necessarily directly tied to Scripture that are important to what we are as a church. But those are the things that we're going to do this regardless. Regardless. And that will drive everything else that we do. All right? And when we're all done, the finished product, we're going to get your input on this. We have a draft committee that we've put together. And they're going to write 5 or 6 central values of our church. They'll try to express them in a word or two. So we can always keep them before us. Maybe add a sentence to explain it a little bit. And then include supporting Scripture as we draw these from God's Word. Here's a church, an example of one. Just the one word, Grace Community, Bible Church, values evangelism, discipleship, individuality, relationships, innovation, and quality. And the members of that church, I trust, know what those mean. They know the Scripture attached to it. They understand what quality is about. So that drives them in everything that they do. And why is it quality? Quality just for quality's sake? Sure, their full value statement would talk about the honor of God and doing things to glorify Him and the importance of excellence. And And so that would drive them, motivate them. They work hard, and they'll be at it together. Okay. And so you need to be part of this. I can write these up, and it will be the core values that Pastor Bob thinks the Mountain View Bible Church should have. Or you can come out, and I trust that you will, so that we can walk together on this. And you come to the parsonage one night this week at 7:30, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Thursday, the Ladies Missionary Fellowship. Remember that. There's no prayer meeting this weekend. Come, act. Everything has always been at 7 o'clock. But know what this says. It's going to be at 7:30. Because I have some other obligations that I'm involved in. Some other critical ministry areas that I'm doing. Involving coaching junior varsity basketball. And I won't be back until at least 7:30. I will be there by 7:30. All right? So I will see you, Lord willing, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Lord, we know that these are important days in our church. We pray that we would be looking to you to direct us, looking to your will to guide us. And I pray that we would come out of this clearly knowing what you want us to do and be more diligent and efficient in doing it by your power. We pray that you'd keep these things in our hearts and minds, that our church, because it is your church, would be central in the focus of the energies and resources of our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.